Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side. Happy New Year! Welcome back to The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside. I am James Duh, and I'm back here with Michael Breeden, who has been a guest before, and I just adore him, and he's one of my besties. Say hi, Michael.
Hi, I'm Michael, and I'm so happy to be back. And I enjoyed that we got a real countdown on whatever this app we're talking on is. Like, it really was like New Year's.
Yeah,
it counts
five,
you in.
5, 4, 3, and then 2 and 1. Oh, my goodness. Michael and I spent New Year's together. We'll get to that. But there are many things to discuss before we get to New Year's, because the holidays were upon us. And depending on where you are in your life, they can be either wonderful or absolutely terrible.
I mean, I always love the imminent return of Nutcracker. You know, like, that is, I love Nutcracker. I never get sick of it. So the holidays are a source of joy for me in that sense. And,
yeah,
you know,
I feel that way as well, honestly. Like, the Nutcracker obviously holds a lot of trauma for me with my knee injury. But I feel like I have risen above it. That said, however, I did get the flu in California. We'll get to that as well. Wait, before we get really cooking on the show, I just want you to give everybody like a little 1 minute summary of who you are and what you've done and what you're doing. Boom,
sure.
Go.
Sure. Okay, I was a dancer with Miami City Ballet for the majority of my career. And then from there, I started staging ballets for Justin Peck. And I most recently did my first ballet as a stager for Alexa Romansky. I also have my own podcast, Conversations on Dance. And then I teach and do some rehearsal directing here and there. And that's good. That's less. That was like 20 seconds.
You slayed that. You really slayed that. And Michael and I know each other from our days with Boston Ballet. In 1738, I think it was.
Okay, well, you know, it's really, I mean, it is, yes, it was a long time ago, but it is funny. It's the 20th anniversary of when we met.
Wow.
Wow. 2025. We met in 2005 when I first moved up to Boston, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Scary.
Is it scary? I feel like, I think it's cool that we're still friends, you know?
Oh, yes. I do love that. I think that that is something that ballet people get to have that I don't, not every normal person has, like, maybe
friends.
Your friends with, you know, no, but I was always like really gagged when I first moved back to New York City, and then I started making some normal friends. After I retired, after I retired from the stage and then moved back to New York, and then I'm out in the world a little bit more and meeting new people, I was always really kind of shocked that people, they would say, oh, this is my best friend. We've been besties for 2.5 years now. And I was like, 2.5 years? I mean,
yeah.
I'm glad you have a friend. But we're very lucky that we, like, I think it bonds us for life. And we stay connected in a way that I think
trauma bonding, normies, for sure.
Yeah, trauma bonding for sure.
Yeah, the normies really love to, like, have a new best friend. And that couldn't be me.
No.
I think, like, I just can't, I can't give myself to people who are new at this point.
Yeah. Well, my roommate Scotty has managed to infiltrate our dancer circle.
That's so true.
Yeah.
He's always joking about when we're talking about ballet people. He has this name. He has these two names for these like fictional ballet people. Cause we're always talking about like, oh, Darcy this, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And what are they? It's like, something Karambe, and Lachance.
Karambe and Lachance.
Karambe like, and Lachance.
When Karambe dropped Lachance on her head, it was so crazy. Like, I'll just say stuff like that all the time.
I love their, like, the lore of Karambe and Lachance. Like, they are so, there's, like, no way to tell where they're from either. It's, like, vaguely African and French.
Who knows, though? You know, it's all from Scotty's imagination, so we'd have to ask her.
Everybody's so creative.
Okay. So appropriate.
So let's talk about Nutcracker. We were both in California because I was in Costa Mesa doing the Nutcracker with American Ballet Theater. And you were where?
I was in San Diego working with the Golden State Ballet, which is directed by Raul Salamanca, who was a dancer in Boston Ballet during our time. Mm-hmm. And his wife is the associate director, I believe that's her title, Cindy Huang, who I danced with in Miami. So again, a small world. You know, these are people that I've known for 20 years. And 2 years ago, they asked me to come out and help them be a rehearsal director for their Nutcracker. So it's 2 years running now.
Would you call that nepotism?
I mean, but, you know, sometimes it's a nepotism sleigh. It's like Liza Minnelli nepotism. Yeah. You know?
Yes, you.
I'm good. I'm good at my job. So.
No. I wonder about nepotism in general because I feel like ballet is such a small world, and it's like I know these people forever from training, from summer programs, and a lot of them made it, and we just know each other now. And so obviously we want to work together because we're friends and we have like 30 years of trauma bonding.
And also, I guess this is how nepotism works. I'm sure that when someone hires their daughter to do a thing, they think that she's great. But of course, I always think my friends are the best at what they do. I mean, so why want to work with them? I want them to be involved, you know?
Yes, and why would I be friends with someone I don't respect and believe in? So there you have it.
Yeah, if we want to get really, it's a little problematic, but why would I be friends with someone who's dancing I don't like? Isn't that the case? I mean, it's true.
Well, you know, it's also like when people are good dancers, they're like, I find them to be way more attractive than like perhaps if I just saw them on the street. Like if I, like if a thug is like an amazing dancer, their hotness goes like way up.
Talent of any kind, but because it's our specific arena, you know, then yes, good ballet dancing is very attractive. And you know, it's like Suzanne Farrell always says, how you dance is who you are. So I do think you see someone's personality or their intelligence through their dancing, and then you become attracted to that.
Super agree with Suzanne Farrell. Okay, so I was in Nutcracker. I mean, I was in California doing the Nutcracker. I was in the I was in California. Wait, what? I just have a stroke. Okay, we're doing great.
I was
in
the Nutcracker in California. I was California in the Nutcracker.
I was in the Nutcracker doing California. I got the damn flu. The flu. I haven't had the flu since I was like, you know, 25 or something. And it was miserable. I'm like never not getting the flu shot again. It was so miz. I was in the cave of my hotel room, like just such a waste of space and money for ABT for like a full week. It sucked. I had a fever. I was shivering and sweating and coughing. Like I'm still coughing up goop in my lungs. It is not hot.
I feel like it always happens to, like, when was the moment where you've ever gotten really sick on your layoff? It's always when you're dancing really hard and your body's kind of run down in that way. So it's more disappointing, too. It always happened to me when I was doing something important. And
But it happened before I got to do the thing. It sucked. Yeah. Usually I'm like, we'll do a run of shows. Like, when I was in Boston Ballet and we did, like, 45 shows of Nutcracker, all of which I was dancing, I would get sick every time at the end of the run. Like we would finish the last show and I would be like, I have a fever of 103 for a week.
Right.
But this, no. I was just dead in my hotel room. Like, it smelled like a literal, like, morgue.
Mm-hmm.
It was not great. So everybody get your flu shot.
Yeah, last time I think I had the flu. Well, maybe there were other times, but most memorable time I had the flu while dancing. We were on tour in the Midwest, and they were just, I got it like very early on, and they were just carting my corpse around from like Omaha to Lincoln to Iowa City. And then eventually I went to a doctor, and because it was, you know, rural area in the Midwest 20 years ago, they told me not that I needed an HIV test. They just told me I had AIDS by looking at me. I'm not even joking. Luckily, I was
crazy.
It was really insane and of course blatantly homophobic. But yeah, luckily, like, blatantly. I was armed with enough information to know that that was not possible at all. And I was combating it, but this guy was just like, no. Like, I mean, he used the word AIDS. He didn't say
it. HIV, even.
He was like,
you got the whole thing. It's yeah. All for You by Janet Jackson.
Yeah. It was really just cherry on top of my crap cake.
God. That is so, like, post-90s spooky.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a very spooky time still.
Yeah. I mean, it... Yeah, similarly in a different arena, when I came out to my mom, she was like, okay about it. It was a little spooky at first because she did lose some friends to AIDS. And she was just really afraid for me, and it was like a huge emotional reaction that I didn't love but understood, or at least understand now. But I got really sick, like, very quickly after I came out to her, and she was like, oh no. I was like, can we just fucking go to the doctor, lady? Like, my throat hurts. Like, just chill. Uh-huh. And she was like, oh my God, like, it must be herpes. I was like, I have not done that much sex. Like, can you just chill for a second? And she brought me to the doctor, and they're like, your son has strep throat. And she was like, whew. I was like, I hate it here.
Oh, Nancy.
These straight people are flying off the handle. Straight people in 1999. God bless them.
It was hard out here. But you know.
God bless.
We have new problems, you know?
Yeah, sure do. Let's not get into that. We've done enough sensitive, sensitive material in the first 10 minutes of this podcast.
You recovered from your flu.
I recovered from the flu, but I missed my show. No, it's so embarrassing, honestly. It's very embarrassing to be shipped to a new city for a show and then to not do the show. I find it very embarrassing. And, you know, it happens. People get sick. People get injured. Mm-hmm. That doesn't erase the sort of disappointment that I felt in not being able to do the show, and I was ready to do it, and Bella and I were super excited about it, you know. And I love the Costa Mesa audience. They are cuckoo boots. Aww. They like hoot and holler, and it's like just fun. It is so much fun. So we're going back, I think, in the springtime to perform Christopher Wheeldon's A Winter's Tale, and I will be back and performing, and I can't wait.
That's great. You know, another point I wanted to bring up, I haven't seen Alexei's Nutcracker, but you are quite a fan of the Pas de Deux. The clips I've seen are so gorgeous. And maybe that is another thing, reason why you and I are able to still enjoy Nutcracker is because we get to work on good Nutcrackers. Obviously, I only really dance Balanchine's Nutcracker my whole career, and you're doing Alexei's, but it makes a huge difference. Cause I've seen some very spooky things on the internets.
Oh, honey.
Crazy Nutcrackers. Oh, honey.
I mean, that time Le Champs and Karambe did the Nutcracker. Yeah. The Nutcracker.
It really is that. It's Karambe and Le Champs. TM, like, it's like instead, like, of George Balanchine's Nutcracker. Yeah, it's really, I don't know where these people get these ideas and things that are just, ooh. I mean, I saw a Nutcracker.
Do it.
I won't say where, but I saw a Nutcracker. And it was just, the way that people are comfortable just hacking away at the Tchaikovsky score. Mm. It's like, it's, I feel like a hypocrite because Balanchine did some of that. I'm sure, I bet Alexei did some too, but they're just, those are people that are so in tune with Tchaikovsky and understanding and sensitive artists. But this was just like someone took a chainsaw to the score and it just was so awful and unmusical. Didn't respond to any crescendos or like percussive crashes. I was just like, what is even happening here? But it was very expensive. Looked very nice. But I saw one thing.
Oh my God.
I won't say about what that is. But
so ice cold.
But so I did see like a small miracle elsewhere.
Do tell.
Sasha De Sola did the, they don't call it the sugar plum there because the Clara turns into, it's just adult Clara.
Mm-hmm. But she like, goes with, in a, with ABTs.
Yeah, so she goes in a box and then becomes adult. It's a pretty neat effect, but
I wish puberty were that easy.
Yeah. you just go in a box and you know how to like do point work and you know, I guess.
Yeah, that's definitely where I was going with that. Yeah. I meant like I go in a box and know how to do taxes and be like a millionaire.
Uh-huh. Also important. But Sasha, who I've not seen dance live, I don't think, maybe I saw her do something minor like 8 years ago in this big festival that SF Ballet did, but this was my first time seeing her do something like really important and major. And I like, it's just so fun to watch something that blows your mind and your expectations. I mean, she's a great dancer, but she just made everything look so spontaneous and fresh, and the way that she could make a phrase, a choreography look like speech, the way that she could make me feel like I was hearing that gorgeous adagio music, the pas de deux, for the first time.
You're
like,
hearing the music, seeing the dance.
It's very true. And then she also is super technically virtuoso and can nail everything, but it doesn't ever look like coarse or
self-congratulatory.
Never. Oh yeah, that's what, yeah, there's somehow humility in everything she does, even though she's doing these crazy feats. Like, I was really like, maybe one of the best things I've ever seen. So I wrote her a huge thing on Instagram the next day,
and she
wrote
back.
I think she did, but it was such a dancer thing. She was like, I was actually really disappointed in my show. It's my last one, and I didn't. So this really means a lot. I'm just like, this is that's the dancer way.
She needed that from you. Yeah. That's beautiful. I mean, we hate ourselves so much. It's impossible to be us.
Yeah. But then, you know, when you quit, things get better and you get to help other people feel better about
that's really amazing.
The pressures you put on yourself.
Yeah, I don't know her very well. I do remember her like winning all sorts of medals and things as a young person. And I have not, I don't get to San Francisco often/ever. I think I've been twice in my life for very short periods of time. And I'd like to know more. So maybe I need to just go to San Francisco and see some shows and hang out and do gay things, you know?
Yeah. San Francisco's a great town. I haven't been in like 5 or 6 years. I was so happy to be back. I was like, oh, I could really live here. But it is strange. I feel like the company used to be around more. Did they tour more? Or I feel like, or maybe
Companies, especially American companies, can't tour like they used to because of rising costs and dwindling funds. Mm-hmm. So American companies don't get much by way of government support, and hotels and airfares are just cuckoo boots, and it's impossible to bring big ballet companies places. I know American Ballet Theatre has been a touring company historically, but it's not going to be able to tour in the way that it used to, even in the 90s and early 2000s. When I joined the company, we went everywhere, and even then it was less than they used to do. So I'm really curious to see what happens with the company in the next couple of years, because I just don't think we're going to be able to travel like we used to. It just costs too much money.
Right.
And I love touring, which sucks.
It seemed like maybe you're getting an extra Met week this year. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing six weeks. Okay, an extra Met week. Let's not forget that we used to do 8 weeks, and then we got bumped down to 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anything about the inner workings of that. Perhaps it was the you know, Peter Gelb or something. I don't really know. I don't want to know.
Yeah, I think it was something to do with the opera getting priority, but well, screw that.
Which makes sense. It's the opera house. We're renters.
Mm-hmm. But let's claw our way back to 8 weeks, because that makes sense.
Yeah, I would like that too. I want to perform more. We're not performing enough. and mm-hmm. it's hard. We're a big company, and we, you know, the principals get one show of each production, mm-hmm. you know? It's very hard to rehearse for 2 months for one performance.
I would also like to see a longer fall season. I don't think I'm making this up, but I think the City Center fall season used to be 4 weeks, and this is 2 at State Theater.
I don't remember. I used to do City Center season, and I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, that was nice. But now it's not. City Center isn't really appropriate for, like, a venue-wise. I feel like
I think it could be, depending on the size of the group that is brought. I think it would be... I don't think we need a season, but I think doing shows there would be wonderful. Yeah. I would love to do, like, our sort of, like, American classics there, like the Tudors and the Twilas of the world.
That's exactly... Yeah, I was totally going to say that. I was like, we could do a Dark Elegies and, like, Lilac Garden and, like...
Pillar of Fire, like, you know, like, those kind of things would look so good in that theater. I love City Center. I love what a champion they are for dance. And I miss performing there when, you know, we don't ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great venue. So much history. Wait, so you didn't do your Nutcracker show, but then you did dance with Unity, right?
I did a gig. So I recovered from the flu. I feel like I lost 15 pounds and was just Skeletor doing the Nutcracker in Connecticut. I was dancing with Unity Phelan. Bella was supposed to do it with me, but her ankle was so bad after doing her show of the Nutcracker that we were supposed to do together that she was like, I don't think it's safe for me to do this gig in Connecticut. It was in Hartford, Connecticut at this theater called The Bushnell with Connecticut Ballet. And it's so crazy. I used to do the Hartford Ballet Nutcracker when I was a child, from like when I was like 10 to 14 or something. I was like Fritz and I was the kid Nutcracker. It was like a fun little homecoming for me to perform at that same theater that I did when I was a child.
That's so nice.
It's cute. And my dad came and like my brothers and friends and family all came. It was really cute. But I danced with Unity Phelan of New York City Ballet, and we've danced together a number of times in Vail. And it was our first time doing a Nutcracker gig together, and we had so much fun. But I need to tell you, well, you already know this, but I want to tell the listeners. So during COVID, me and Michael went to stay with our friends, Cooper and Ryan. And this was in Boston. And we were just nerding out. Like, it was COVID, so we were just, like, staying in and watching TV forever. And we watched, was Diamonds, right, with Peter and Darcy?
No, it was Nutcracker. It was Balanchine's Nutpaw.
Yes. Yeah. And it was Darcy Kissler, and I, in like complete seriousness, she does this ponche, obviously, because that's what ballet is a ponche. and in the like spookiest, creepiest voice, I'm like, beautiful ponche, Darcy. But like completely serious. And Michael like slowly looked at me and was like, that was so creepy.
It was it's giving like dirty old man on the street vibes. But now we just say that from time
to time. Yeah, so like you could say anything like beautiful blank Darcy, like you know, like beautiful apartment Darcy, beautiful, you know, beautiful flatware Darcy.
Yeah.
But I taught Unity about beautiful ponche Darcy, and she used it the whole day that we were doing the Nutcracker in Connecticut. It really made me cackle.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wait, did Unity have to learn the Alexei choreography, or did you do Balanchine, or did you?
We did a sort of abomination, I'd call it.
Oh no!
Yeah, we did a mix. Let's not
remix.
Talk about taking a chainsaw to something. I mean, to be completely honest, like, my body after having the flu was like, please don't murder me, don't hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And Unity was in, like, she was doing Sugar Plum on Friday, Dewdrop on Saturday, and then Dewdrop again on Monday. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, my body is broken. Can we, like, make this very doable?
Yeah.
So we did a version. Also, we did not rehearse together at all because I was supposed to do it with Bella, and then I was flying back from California on Saturday. I flew back from California directly to Hartford, Connecticut on Saturday,
right.
And I got in at like midnight on Saturday, and then went directly to the theater on Sunday morning, met Unity at the theater. We went into like the side theater where there was nobody there, mm-hmm. and we're like making up a version, and then we did the show like an hour later. It was
That's
cuckoo.
Crazy.
Yeah,
that's it was fun cuckoo. Though.
So we made up a Petipaw Balanchine abomination.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We did like the Petipaw opening, then like the pirouette back bends, and mm-hmm. then the Petipaw finish.
I mean, if you're gonna steal, do it from the best, right? They're both dead. They can't be mad at you. So,
you know? Oh my god, I feel like extra haunted by Petipaw and Balanchine these past few days. But
they're
the shows were great,
you.
And the audience was wonderful. We did like little meet and greets after, and they were like such cute kids, and people like brought my book to sign and everything. It was just so sweet. It made me feel like that bitch, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. Unity's the best.
Yeah, she's great.
Let's talk about Christmas. So we both are not religious, but Christmas is like the gayest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. I visited family for Christmas. I saw my dad and my brothers, and I also went to my other brother's house for actual Christmas Day, and it was fun to see my nieces and family. It was very wholesome. What did you do for Christmas?
I met my parents in San Francisco because they were flying to my brother's wedding in Japan, which unfortunately I could not attend, but they wanted to break up the travel, and they're flying from Charlotte, so they had to do a layover anyway. So they flew to San Francisco, and that was close to San Diego for me, so I was like, this is great, I can go see them and then hang out with some friends there. So I had a lovely time.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah.
I've never really traveled with my family. I feel like I'm scared to do that.
I've traveled with my family. No, they're great. They are. But it's like, especially everyone has different needs and desires and,
And that's probably why I don't want to do it, because mine are the most important.
Yeah.
Monster.
Yeah. I mean, traveling with people is like you just don't know who you're going to vibe with. Cause I've gone on vacations with very good friends, and it's gone really wrong.
So Michael and I and our friends Cooper and Scotty, we all went to Mexico City after Thanksgiving, like the beginning of December
before
or something.
Before Thanksgiving.
Okay, what do I know?
After Halloween, yeah.
Oh, thank you. I knew there was like a holiday before we went. It was right after fall season. And like, we had the freaking best time ever. It was so fun traveling with you guys. And we all were just like on the same page. And I would be like, I'm going to go take a nap. And, you know, y'all would just be like, you know, day drinking.
I mean, that's the truth. I mean, we were on the same page because I think we all wanted a certain balance of culture and, you know, debauchery. That's the only two things we were balancing.
Yes.
But then also to have people that have chill when someone does want to diverge in the plan, you know, because if you go on a trip with someone who, like, it's not only that they want to do things exactly the way they want to do, but you also have to be beholden to their
I would not be beholden to them.
You know, so that can be very dark. I've experienced that before.
Yeah, I hear them sirens over there, girl.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's giving Murray Hill.
It's Manhattan. It's giving Murray Hill.
Yeah. I live in Brooklyn, where there's pretty much nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Okay, New Year's. We did New Year's together as well. We went to Wet Noise, right? Was that what it's called?
Yes.
Wet Noise. It's a dance party, and people are always like, oh my god, you're a dancer. You're probably like so great on the dance floor. And I'm like,
we do not. In fact,
I'm like, what do you think I'm doing? Like, what, do you think I'm doing like routines? That's crazy. Like, they're like, do it. Show me some ballet. I'm like, I'll kill you. I will kill
that's
you.
That's really not sexy.
And it's so like unsexy too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you imagine if I just started doing like splits and pliés and shit at Wet Noise?
I mean, someone once asked me if I could do 32 fuertes en tournant at the underwear party on Far Island.
I can weirdly picture that, like you in a jockstrap doing 32 fuertes, like clearing the room.
Yeah, no, I mean, needless to say, I did not do that. And at first, you know, it was a deeply unappealing question, but then later on, I went on to enjoy this person's company for a while. So I guess it's curable.
Look at God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's wild. Yeah, I always find the idea of like doing dance moves, I don't know. I feel like under certain circumstances, like also the kind of music really matters. So like the party we were at, it's essentially dance music. It's like probably 70s, 80s dance music. Mm-hmm. And like funk, maybe? I don't really know what I would call it. But I find it really hard to like diverge from a step touch with that kind of music.
Oh, that's it for me, yeah.
But if I'm like somewhere and like the Pussycat Dolls comes on or something, or like Missy Elliott, I can really kind of get down in a different kind of way. Mm-hmm. But overall, especially at a gay party, it's a step touch, because if you're going to be like extra dancing routine style, I find it to be supremely unappealing.
It's man repellent, as we say. It's deeply man repellent. Like, really gives me the ick.
We had a good time though. It was glorious. Great time.
Yeah, we were with all our friends, and then other people popped in that we knew. Lloyd Knight of the Graham Dance Company was there, who's
the
a friend of ours.
The iconic,
the famous Lloyd Knight,
the legendary. Beautiful. Yeah, we saw lots of like Fire Island adjacent people too. It was very fun to see so many familiar faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a great party. Not overwhelming. Never felt too hot or like I was gonna die.
Yeah,
you know, that's always good.
Yeah, I actually did a, you know, maybe it's a pro move or maybe it's embarrassing, but I wore gym shorts underneath my cargo pants and checked my pants at the coat check, because I was like, I'm not being sweaty Magoo. I just refuse.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was pro
Anthony
move.
Ross Costanzo and Justin Vivian Bond were sitting in the booth behind the coat check, and I didn't see them yet. And I shimmied out of my pants and handed them to the coat check. And I heard Anthony behind me, and I turn around. He was like, I saw that. I was like, I'm fully embarrassed by this, but I was like, yeah, I'm smart, LOL.
It was a good move, and it was a cute outfit, too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you,
but luckily it wasn't too cold. I hate when on New Year's when it's like, you know, 27 degrees out, but then it's also hot in the club, and then what do I do?
And then you leave, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to wear my t-shirt, and then you have the flu.
Mistake. Yeah, exactly.
Did you do any resolutions or anything?
I didn't. I don't know. It's always, you know, drink less, eat healthier, gym more.
Yeah.
I know you should have a more tangible idea behind that, but I don't know. I wasn't into it this year.
I feel like I don't have a resolution so much as like a big ask of the universe, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I love making ballets. I love making dance. As I age and as I think to myself, what the hell am I going to do when I stop performing? I would love absolutely to make dance for ballet companies, for television, for film. And I'm ready for like a big win in the commission department from anyone, from a ballet company, from a commercial, a TV show, whatever. I'm asking that for 2025, a big win in the choreography department.
Mm-hmm.
Manifesting.
I see that. I see that in your future. I mean, it's so hard to see, like, when you do, I mean, what I'm doing is, I guess, it's different, but it's similar, like, freelance stuff. It's project to project. And
it comes to you. You can't ask for it.
Yeah. It's really, yeah. I mean, you can do some minor, I don't know, I guess,
networking
type things. But even that, it's like, I can't force the director of a company to want to program a piece that I'll come stage.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, now I don't care at all anymore. Like, if I see Miko or, let's see, Adam Skluud, I interviewed recently, and I'm just like, do a Justin ballet. Yeah. Bring me.
Yeah.
And they're like,
so
okay.
Shameless.
But, you know.
I feel like the more I ask for things, the less likely it is that someone will want to give it to me. So it's hard. I'm trying to find a balance between complete and utter desperation and cool behavior.
Yeah. No, it's hard. Definitely.
It's hard. But I like making things and I want it. Damn it.
I think it's going to happen for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, do you have any ins and outs? You know how people do that?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I was being really, I guess I really didn't care this year. I don't know.
That's great.
What is out? What is, what in is not caring, you know, just being less, precious about things or, you know, insecurity is out for sure.
I love that.
We have to go for things more now. We're too old. You have to just, you know.
You know, what's out is, making jokes about feeling old. I want to make statements that I am aging, like a person who understands how time works. And out is being like, well, I'm like, grandmother's got to go, like, you know, shave her back. I don't know. like things like that. Or
hey,
it's
I've
very
had to
easy
shave
to
my back since I was 21. So
sorry, gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's very easy at work, though, to look around and see collagen and think to myself, oh, this is tough. And it's very easy to make sort of flippant remarks and jokes about oneself, but it's unnecessary because what are we? Slay. We are a slay.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, you are right.
Thank
what
you.
Else is, out for me is trying to make any sort of love connection with a person that doesn't live in New York City. How about that?
Good luck with that. I've seen this film before. Oh my god, this has more sequels than Fast and the Furious.
Oh, it's so true. Maybe this time.
Yes, by Liza Minnelli.
By Liza Minnelli. We've come full circle now.
Oh, god. This is the year of Liza. 2025 is the year. Oh my god, I feel like I really can't speak anymore. And here I am hosting a podcast. Look at God.
Brain rot is real.
Oh my god. Okay, let's see what else could be out. Yeah, negative self-speak, negative self-talk, like being a bitch to yourself is super out. Having mindful goals, being nice to people, not judging other people because you hate yourself, all those things.
Yeah. What's in, though?
In
Sabrina
is...
Carpenter.
Okay. I feel like I'm tepid on Sabrina, but that's okay.
Oh, wow.
I really appreciated her last album. It was fun. And well done. I'm not fully standing quite yet.
That's my daughter.
I know that's your daughter.
I have so many daughters, though.
Yes, you do. You really do. Do you think we're going to get a new Taylor in 2025?
Well, definitely the Taylor's versions of the debut and Reputation. Those will both come out this year for sure.
You really think both?
Yeah, I think so. I think Diva's got to wrap it up. It's been a long time. The first Taylor's version album came out in 2021. So
is Lover under her or Scooter?
It's hers. It's her first owned album.
Okay.
So there's no new Lover coming.
Lover is underrated in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. Lover is pop Bible, as they say on Twitter.
I don't agree that it's pop Bible, but I really love it. You know, I'm gonna toot my own butt right now. And Misty asked me to choreograph the Lover portion of the AMAs that she performed with Craig Hall, and I choreographed their little pas de deux that's cool. I've technically choreographed for Taylor Swift.
I mean that's very cool.
I want more of that energy, please, in 2025. I want a pop star to make.
Yeah, I mean, but you've done other. You've done for Mariah too.
Mariah so, done twice now. Yeah, I want but I want to choreograph not for dancers, but like for the singer to do as well, like a Tate McRae kind of journey, or like a Tinashe.
Or well, maybe if you take back what you said about Sabrina, she'll hire you.
But she doesn't dance, Diva.
I mean, but she does some dancing.
And I didn't say I didn't like Sabrina. She's just kidding. Not my daughter. Jeez.
Yeah. Wait, Tate would be ideal, though, because Tate's like a dancer.
Yeah.
And
I'd be like, well, I think she's probably not allowed to do, like, technical things anymore because it's unrelatable. And it's kind of weird in a pop video to, like, be like, here are my fuetes.
Yeah, it's true, but she can do them. I mean, there is that video of her and Esmeralda doing triple pirouettes with a crazy foot.
Yes, I know.
Like, she's kind of, it was good.
Her lower back does not exist.
No.
Like, have you seen her, like, her spine? It bends fully in half. Like, she could have been a contortionist, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Or, like, a rhythmic gymnast.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm a fan. I'm going to manifest a Tate McRae video coming out of literally nowhere.
I bet Tate knows who you are. Like,
maybe.
I feel like we could manifest that.
Okay.
Like, if she was a YGP girly, how many years ago would that have been?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. She probably is vaguely aware of my existence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we just got to put that, like, yeah. That's, I like this for us, for us, because it seems not unrealistic.
Okay.
You know,
I mean, it seems pretty unrealistic to me, but I also hear what you're saying, and I accept.
Yeah, I think we can make it happen.
All right. Dear Tate, call me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. I think we should wrap it up with just a quick, like, give me one thing you're listening to and one thing you're reading or want to read.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, well, I just finished American Nations. The name of the author escapes me, but it was a really interesting, like, historical look at the way America has, like, sorted itself into kind of tribes politically or culturally, and, like, where those lines are, that it's not, like, it's definitely not state lines by any means, and it was just a really interesting way of putting things in historical context, especially around the time of the election, so I was glad I read that. And
cool.
I recommend that for sure.
Yeah,
what am I listening
to?
What am I listening to? I'm listening to the same old shit. I'm listening to Sabrina and Chapel and Taylor.
And Taylor, and, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I'm so, I can't help myself.
I mean, I'm the same. Let's see, what did I listen to today? Oh my God. I was listening to the 2001 Space Odyssey soundtrack. That was kind of random.
Oh,
yeah.
That is random.
Yeah.
But like, the Blue Danube waltz, is that
exactly
what you're listening to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the, like, Strauss, like, thing that's been redone a million times, like in Barbie and stuff. It was fun. Listening to also, do you know Majid Jordan? It's a duo of, I think they're brothers, I could be wrong, but they have a beautiful album called Good People, and they did a remix album of this album, and it is so vibey and chill. Like, it's dance music, but very cool, like, and quite sexy. I really recommend it. I'm watching Silo on Apple TV. Have you been watching this?
I don't have Apple TV. What is Silo?
This is my Apple TV. You don't have Apple TV.
It's too many apps. We don't
I agree.
Pay for, yeah,
I agree.
But Apple TV does seem to be the best one, right?
Oh, it's fabulous.
What was the tweet that was so good that was like, Apple TV spends like $100 million on one episode with four Oscar winners, and it's, you know, universally acclaimed. Netflix is like, here's season 7 of the Airport Bathroom Camera. It's true.
Netflix is wild and for sure. Like, what are they doing over there? But yeah, I still have a Netflix subscription, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, joke's on me. I still enjoy Netflix for various reasons.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'd rather cut bills elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like try to go to less restaurants or something. Fewer restaurants, pardon my grammar. than like cancel everything and pretend I'm saving a bunch of money.
Yeah.
But that's just whatever. But Silo is based on these books that I read ages ago, and I loved them, and I thought they were so fun, and I was like, this would be a good show or movie, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun, and I recommend it if you like dystopian sci-fi.
I love a dystopia.
Me too.
Any dystopia will do. Yeah.
Yeah. J'agree.
Yeah.
And I'm currently reading book 5 in Brandon Sanderson's Stormlight Archives, which has been really fun. I'm really enjoying it. It is a behemoth. It's like over 1,300 pages or something. It's like a Bible. But I love that stuff, like fantasy core love.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, I think we should wrap this up. It is 2025. Happy New Year to what?
I said dessert wine is out.
Dessert wine is out.
Wrap it up. Dessert wine is out.
Is that a reference to something? What is that?
It's Bridesmaids.
Oh, I don't really know her. I know that's... Oh,
shameful.
I know. Am I even gay?
Yeah, I don't know. We can have a Sex and City but worse night where we watch it.
Yeah, sure. Also, I don't know if we talked about this last time you were on the podcast, but our friend group, it's like me, Cooper, Michael, and Scotty, and we call ourselves Sex and the City but worse. And... Should I do the whole thing? Say the names of everything? I shouldn't. I shouldn't. Never mind.
It's
too cringe. Maybe you'll have to earn this. You tell me if you want it. Listeners, tell me if you want our names in Sex and the City, but worse. And maybe you'll get it one of these days. All right. Thank you, Michael, for joining me back on this podcast. I'm glad we talked about ballet, but I'm even more glad we talked about everything else. It was so fun. And maybe I'll see you another time on the podcast.
Yeah, I would love that. I'm always happy to come back. Thank you, Diva.
Bye. Happy New Year, y'all. Gag, Diva. Yas, drag words. Bye. Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.